The Free Library of Philadelphia is proud to present a podcast from our author event series, recorded live at the Central Library on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. To learn more about the Free Library, the Central Library Expansion Project, and how your contribution can help our programs and services for the community, please visit freelibrary.org. That's lovely. Everybody's so well behaved. Will it last? I just want to go over a few book signing notes so that we can expedite the evening and make it easier for everyone. Just so you know, Christopher will sign unlimited copies of Eldest, up to 3 copies of Aragon, and he will personalize 1 book, which means we'll come through the line and get your first name on a post-it note, and we'll slap it in the book that you want to have him personalize to you. We're switching up with photographs. They are allowed in the auditorium tonight, but not allowed in the line upstairs because we want to keep the line moving. The signing lines have generally been very long. And if I could ask you all to turn your cell phones off, that would be helpful too. I'm glad I asked. So Christopher will be out in just a minute. To introduce him is Sandy Farrell, who is the teen librarian for the entire system of the Philadelphia Library. Please welcome Sandy Farrell.
Hi there. Can you hear me? I was told you can't see me behind the podium, so I'm sort of going to stand over here. Wave at the people over here. Thank you all for coming tonight. I am really excited about having Christopher Paolini here because I loved Aragon, and I cannot wait to read Eldest. And as you can see, I dressed to match the book. But my colleagues and parents are always telling me, oh, kids don't like to read. Huh? What do we have here? Lots of kids. And they also tell me that boys really don't like to read. And while I was out here, I saw a number of boys in the audience. So I'm glad you're all here tonight. And Mr. Paolini and I were talking, and he says, the boys like the sword fights in the action of the book. And I said, I think the girls fall in love with the dragons. And I think that's probably true. Now, you probably already know that Mr. Paolini wrote Aragon, or started it, when he was only 15 years old, which is another criticism I hear from parents and teachers, that kids don't read, kids don't like to read, and kids certainly can't write anything. Well, hey, proved him wrong again. And last year in January 2004, in the international bestseller list, Aragon was number 1, and the current Harry Potter was number 2. And you probably all know that when he wrote this, his parents were impressed, so they got somebody to publish the book, a self-publishing company called Lightning Source. And if I had a couple copies, I'd be a rich woman. They are now going for, as of last year, I'm sure it's more now, $1,000 apiece. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about how wonderful the books are, because they have this grand vision that you can really get into. You can take yourself from wherever you are and go to a magical place with dragons and castles and lots of action. So I'm going to be quiet. And I'm going to turn the program over to Mr. Paolini, who says he's delighted to be back in Philadelphia. Let's show him how delighted we are to have him here.
Wow. Wow. Oh, man. Wow, thank you for that wonderful introduction. And I'd like to thank all of you for being here tonight, since the Inheritance Trilogy would never have been a success without the support of teachers and librarians and booksellers and readers just like you all across the world. So thank you. This is actually only my second time back here in Philadelphia, so I'm really enjoying my staying, and I certainly hope I can get to come back here again once book three comes out. as soon as that's finished. Now, I know that most of you have probably already read Aragon. At least I hope so. But if in case any of you haven't, I'd like to just say a few words about the story. Aragon, of course, is about a young man, Aragon, who becomes intricately linked with this brilliant sapphire-blue baby dragon named Saphira. And they go on a series of adventures, and there's duels and dragons and battles and villains and romance and all the good stuff a story needs. And Eldus, of course, continues their adventures through the land of Alagazia. And hopefully book three will as well. Writing Eldest was very different from writing Aragon for a number of reasons. First of all, of course, I actually knew that Eldest was going to be published, which I didn't with Aragon. You have to forgive me if I say Aragon when I mean Eldest a few times, because I'm still trying to get used to actually saying the name of the book. I've been talking about Aragon for so long, now it's Eldest, not Aragon. And of course, this time around, with my second novel, I realized, so many people have enjoyed the story and have empathized with the characters and enjoyed the world, that I have a responsibility as an author to do right by the story, to make sure that it all turns out the way it ought to. And that was really in my mind when I sat down to Eldest. I wanted to do the best job I could so that you guys could enjoy it. Another difference, of course, between Aragon and Eldest is that this is the middle of the story. And things tend to go very, very badly in the middle of the story. That's because, of course, things have to go badly in the middle of the story before they can hopefully start to get better in the end of the story, in the third part. And as with many authors, I actually have sometimes difficulty writing scenes where my characters are going through some trouble. I feel too much for it. For example, when in Aragon, with what happens with Brahm. I actually had tears in my eyes when I was writing that. So there were a few parts of Eldest that were difficult to write, but I had fun with it. And then, of course, there's the fact that I actually thought Eldest was going to be shorter than Aragon. I did. I told my mom, my sister, my dad, my editor, my agent. I told them all, it's going to be shorter. And I believed that right up until the day Eldest reached the same size as Aragon, and I realized I still had a third of the book to go. And I remember walking up to my mom and saying, this might take a little longer than I thought. but it was quite the experience. And I viewed Eldest as an opportunity to really spread my wings as an author and try things I hadn't tried before, and to really try and expand the world and the characters. For example, with the characters, I switch point of view numerous times between Aragon and his cousin Roran, and also Azjahad's daughter, Nasuata. And it was a real treat to finally be able to write some characters who are more mature than Aragon. And I certainly enjoy Aragon, but it's nice for a change of pace occasionally. Also, with the world, I really wanted to expand the races and their histories to make you feel like it's a real place. With the dwarves, as a fantasy reader, I often feel like dwarves are just sort of walk-on characters. They're short, they carry axes, they wear chainmail, they like rocks, and they hammer a lot of metal. Okay, now get out of here. Bring the hero back. And I wanted to get into the dwarves' world a little bit more. And one way I did that was through their language, which is one of the three languages I invented. And it's a wonderful, I had a lot of fun with it. It's very meaty, and you can just sink your teeth into it. Actually, since I got a book here with me, I can't help doing it. I got to read you a chunk of this. This is just a sentence or two from Eldest in Dwarvish. And I won't translate it. You'll have to actually read the book to get the translation. But give you an idea of what it sounds like. Form Vrethkarach. Form Jürgen Karmita nos etta Gorath Bastarnag dur incesti Rakithin. Jok is worv as barzuligur dur durgrimst as schwolden rak anuin mog tor rak Jürgenvren. There's a reason that dwarves usually sound hoarse. Another thing I tried to have fun with the dwarves was there's a place in the book where Aragorn's feeling a little down in the dumps and depressed, and as he usually does. But the dwarf, Auric, in order to cheer him up, he gives a puzzle ring to Aragorn. I don't know if any of you are familiar with puzzle rings, but in this world, they come from the Middle East, and they're usually made of 4 to 5 to 6 bands of interlocking metal. And all the bands they're wriggled and carved and curved in interesting shapes. So if you arrange them in just the right configuration, the bands snap together and form a solid ring. And not only did this seem a good idea to give to that the dwarves would make something like this, I got the idea of putting it in the book when I was on the self-published tour for Aragorn. And I was in Corpus Christi down in Texas, and the principal of the school where I was presenting, her husband knew I loved puzzle rings, so he gave me, or puzzles in general, so he gave me a puzzle ring. And I know how to solve these rings, and I could not solve this one. I worked on it for months, and I got so frustrated, I said, fine, I'm giving it to Aragorn. Let him deal with it. And the funny thing is the very day when I wrote the scene where Aragorn solves his puzzle ring, I sat down with mine and I said, you know, if I can't solve it, it's worthless to me. So I'm just going to try and force it together in the configuration I think it ought to be in. So I worked on the rings for a few minutes and pushed a little harder than I would have otherwise, and the ring snapped together and was solved. So the very day Aragorn solved his puzzle ring, I solved mine, which was pretty creepy. but that's what I did, tried to do throughout Aragorn. I tried to have fun writing it. I tried to enrich the world, and hopefully you guys will have fun reading it as well. It's really just amazed me, having gone through this experience of writing Aragorn and publishing it and promoting it, and now the same for Eldest, it's really amazed me how many people have enjoyed this story and how big this phenomenon has gotten, for which I'm very, very grateful. And it didn't really sink in to, you know, in my own head just how big this had gotten until a few weeks before the book tour. I was sitting in my bedroom, you know, in front of my computer, playing Jedi Knight Academy. I was hard at work. And so I'm there, you know, battling all these other players from around the world. And so we're, you know, clashing with our lightsabers and having lots of fun. And all of a sudden, this other player logged into the game using the name Aragorn. And the really horrible thing is, he was actually pretty good. And he beat me twice. And across the screen, it flashed, "You have been killed by Aragorn." I did not need to see that. But that's when I really realized just how many people have really enjoyed the story. And it's been a wonderful experience. Writing Eldest was a great learning experience. And I have to say, I am very much looking forward to the third book, which I will be delving into as soon as I get back home. I have a huge amount done on it already. Right before I left, I wrote the first line. So it's waiting for me when I get back. And I also have the pleasure to announce that even as I speak, the Fox 2000 movie studio is filming an adaptation of Aragon in Budapest, Hungary. And they, yeah. They've cast some top-notch actors in the roles, everyone from John Malkovich to Jeremy Irons to Jaimin Hunsu, numerous others. And in the lead role of Aragon, they've chosen a young man, 17 years old, from Britain, by the name of Ed Spaliers. So, very exciting, and we'll have to wait and see how that turns out. So, I just want to say, again, how much fun this has been and how much I've enjoyed coming here and talking to you. And now if any of you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
How old are you?
I'll have to ask you to wait. We're going to have some microphones passed around so everyone can hear. But the question was, how old am I? And I'm 21 at the moment. So it's all downhill from here. As my sister, who's younger than me, takes pains to point out. So, all right. Get the microphone.
What is your best
Go.
What is your best advice for young authors when writing an epic fantasy novel?
Ah. Well, I have advice for writing. As for writing an epic fantasy novel, make sure you have a lot of time on hand. As far as writing goes, I'd say three things. Learn everything you can about the English language, because that's really the tool of the trade. And the more you learn about it, the less pain you'll have in editing. Write about what you love the most, because writing a book, especially a large book, is a very difficult and long process. And if you're writing about something that really you really care about and that really touches you, that makes it that much easier to get through a 400, 500, 600, 700-page novel or nonfiction book. And then the third thing I'd say would be find someone who can look at your work and, in a constructive way, tell you what you've done wrong and how you can make it better, because that's the only way you can advance. And those three things have made a huge difference for my writing, and They're the best tips I can give anyone. So, let's see. Yes. Yes, you. Well, you have to wait for the microphone. You'll have to excuse me if it's hard to see the hands. I have spotlights in my face.
Have you ever met someone who's such an Aragon fan that it's kind of scary, like obsessive?
Occasionally, but it's really nice to know that people have enjoyed the story that much. I was a real fan of many authors growing up myself, so I understand what it's like. If I got a chance to meet Frank Herbert, who wrote Dune, for example, I think I wouldn't be able to even talk. And there are certainly authors, and in fact, that's one of the great treats of actually getting published myself. One of the real treats of this experience is getting to meet some of the authors I read growing up, such as Terry Brooks and Bruce Coville and numerous others. So, but I can understand why people would feel that way about the Inheritance Trilogy. So, yes, up against the wall.
When will the trailer for the Aragon movie come out?
When will the Aragon movie come out?
The trailer.
Oh, the trailer. well, the movie is scheduled for summer next year, so you don't have to wait that long. The trailer is up to the studio. I would guess they'll probably release it like a teaser around Christmas, and then you'll get the longer trailers later in the year. So, but that's entirely up to Fox. Yes, here next to the aisle.
Are you going to write anything else after you finish this book?
Good question. I actually have about 20 or 30 books all plotted out in a file at home. Not all of which are fantasy. Everything from mystery to thriller to horror to science fiction to historical fiction. So there's a lot of different stories I'd like to write, and hopefully I'll get the chance once the trilogy is done. So, yes.
What's your famous saying?
Excuse me?
What's your famous saying?
What's my famous saying?
Yeah.
I didn't know I had any famous sayings.
In the book.
From the book. Well, it's a line I used to sign many books with, which is, "May your swords stay sharp." Or in the ancient language, "Sionis verdar sitya havas." So, yes, in the black shirt. Why don't you hold up your hand again? There we go.
What's the title of your third book gonna be?
Well, I'm actually in the middle of a very polite and yet intense discussion with my editor about that. There are a couple of very good options bouncing around, and we haven't picked one yet, but as soon as we do, we'll let you know. At the moment, it could be Bubbles for Buckfish, for all I know at the moment. So, yes, Against the Wall.
Approximately, how much time do you spend on an average of a week writing?
When I have deadlines, I spend a lot more time writing. and since I had a deadline for all of last book, what I do, and this is still my standard practice, I get up in the morning, I grab breakfast, I sit in front of my computer, I make sure the Jedi Knight Academy disc is not in the computer, and then I get up about an hour before dinner to exercise. And I do that 7 days a week, every week of the year, except my birthday and Christmas. So, it's how you get a book done. and that's probably the hardest part of writing a book, is sitting down every day and actually writing. Yes, in the middle, way in the back. I know, I'm making you guys run all over the place.
I'm sorry, you mentioned who will be starring in the movie. I also read that you will as well as Beheaded Troll number 10. Is that true?
Well, it would be nice to have a cameo in the movie, but unfortunately, they are filming while I'm on book tour, so it doesn't look like that will happen. But hopefully there'll be movie 2 and 3. So you never know. You never know. I'll get beheaded someday. Yes, here in the front row.
When you were writing, has your ideas ever taken a life of their own and went off track of your outline?
When I'm writing, have my ideas ever sort of jumped the tracks and taken on a life of their own? Safira has done that occasionally. She seems to do whatever she wants to, and I really can't do anything about it. But there have been a few times in the story where things have happened that I had not planned. In Aragorn, for example, when the episode where Aragorn blesses the child near the end of the book, I never planned to do that. Was never in my outline of the story. But once it happened, I wrote that scene and I looked at it and I went, "Ooh, I have to do something with this." So things do happen like that, and you have to learn as an author to be open to that sort of thing and not follow your outline so rigidly that you're not able to incorporate inspiration as it comes. So, long answer to a short question, I know, but we'll take some more questions here. Yes, in the blue shirt.
What race is your favorite?
What race is my favorite? You know, I created all the races, or at least my interpretation of them, so I can't say that anyone is really that much more of a favorite. However, I've always told my mom that if I ever got to go into Aragorn's world and live in Alagazia, that I would go live with the dwarves and write dwarvish opera. Because I like the sound of their language so much. So, Yeah, way in the back, against the wall. Yes.
How old were you when you started Aragon, and how many drafts, or how long did it take you to complete it?
I was 15 when I started Aragon, and then it took me a year to complete the first draft, at which point I sat down and read it through for the first time. You know, I was really excited. I get to read my own book for the first time. Well, it was awful. It was terrible. The story was there, but the writing itself needed work, and I could see that. So I spent a second year and revised the book, and then it handed over to my parents, and we edited it together, and that took a third year, editing and getting it ready for publication. And then we spent a fourth year marketing it on the road together, and then it got picked up by Random House, and I spent a fifth year marketing Aragon for Random House, and then I started on book two. So it was a very long process, but I've enjoyed it, and as I said earlier, I've learned a huge amount from it. So if you're working on a book, don't feel afraid to go back and keep fiddling until it's right. Way back against the doors. Sorry if there's two hands up. I can't quite see. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Which authors have influenced you the most?
I read a huge amount of epic fantasy growing up. I was inspired by Magician by Raymond E. Feist, F-E-I-S-T, which is a great book. The Wizard of Earthsea trilogy by Ursula K. Le Guin, Dune, the Moss Flower series by Brian Jakes, Anne McCaffrey, Andre Norton, David Eddings, Tolkien, of course, the Gormenghast trilogy by Mervyn. How long do you have? It's a lot. It's a lot. I love reading, and all those authors sort of fueled my own dreams for writing. So I think we'll take a few more questions here. Yes.
Which one?
By the aisle. To your left. Oh, well.
How do you feel about Harry Potter?
I love Harry Potter! I think it's amazing what J.K. Rowling has done for, for books and literature, and especially fantasy. And, whatever gets people reading. And, hey, I like the books myself. I actually got the opportunity to review the latest one for Entertainment Weekly, which was quite an honor. So that was fun. That was fun. You had a question, the baseball cap?
You said the Aragon movie is coming out next year. Are you personally overseeing how close it's going to be to the books, or do you have not a lot of control over that? How close are they going to be together?
I was able to provide some input on the screenplay, on one version of it. However, you have to keep in mind that the story is, this is other people's interpretation of what Aragon is. And, when I say the word rock, we all see a different type of rock in our heads. So that's one reason why, for example, I never describe, in the beginning of Aragon, I never described his face very closely, because I figured everyone will form his or her own image of what he looks like. So, and I think that's the sort of the same principle with the movie. Yes, in the white shirt.
Okay. What made you want to kill off? What gave you the idea to kill off, like Brahm or Gara? What made you feel like they needed to go?
Boy, you had to. That's a tough question. It had to be done because the Inheritance trilogy is a coming of age story, and in order for Aragon to come of age, he couldn't have other people doing things for him. And if, for example, Brahm were still alive, he would still be doing things for Aragon because he's better at them than Aragon. And Aragon will never learn to actually fully grow up and take responsibility until he's completely on his own. Doesn't mean I'm going to kill off Saphira, mind you. But A lot of the story deals with Aragorn having to take his place in the world, as well as many of the other younger characters, such as Rohan and Nasuada and Oryk even. It's about the passing of the torch from one generation to the next. So, doesn't mean it was easy for me to kill the characters, but it needed to be done for the story. So, too many questions! Too many questions! Yes, in the green shirt.
What was your idea of coming up with Aragorn's name? Like, how did you come up with that name?
Ah, how did I come up with Aragorn's name? The name Aragorn is a play on dragon, with the first letter being changed from dragon. And I also chose it because it means era gone by, era gone, which seemed like a nice little piece of symbology for the story. Most of my names are either jokes, such as Aragorn's horse is named, or one of his horses was named Kadok, which is Kodak, spelled all backwards with C's. Or I had a town named Yazoak, which is an anagram for the Japanese mafia, the Yakuza. The rest of my names come from either real languages or cultures, such as, you know, Old Norse, Germanic, Russian, or they are invented according to the rules of my imaginary languages. So, bunch of different sources. So, I'm sorry I can't answer all your questions right now, but feel free to ask them during the signing, because we do have a lot of books to sign and we want to make sure we get to all of them tonight. So, I just want to say what a wonderful audience you've been, and thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for listening to a podcast from the Free Library's Author Event Series. If you live in Philadelphia or are planning a visit and would like to attend an author event, information is available at freelibrary.org.